Well, my dear friends, it's wonderful to have us all back in God's house. What a wonderful place to be. It is the place to be. Storms. Anybody have a storm lately or something? Hear about that? Life gives us lots of those storms, and the only way that we can have any peace in the middle of the storm, regardless of how it comes out, whether, you know, you're hardly touched or whether your house is destroyed, we all have the peace of the surpassing peace of the knowledge of God, and that we know that he is with us. We know that he loves us. We know that he cares for us. We know he provides for us, and that we get to provide for each other. We know that he loves us and forgives us and makes it so that we can spend eternity with him forever in heaven. And so today we get to rest in this incredible grace of God. And so as we rest in that grace, let's remember the day that we were brought into the family of God in the gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so very much for this incredible morning, Lord, this time that we get to be in your house and hear from you through your word. Lord, I pray that you would send your spirit to work in us, Lord, so that we can understand this word and that this word can be set deep in our hearts so that we will be able to remember it in the proper time when we desperately need it. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of your people this morning. Help us, Lord, as we return praise and thanksgiving to you for all that you have done for us. All this we pray in your name. Amen. My friends, let us now come before our God and confess our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. I'm confused. Are we supposed to do the children's message next? No, forget it. Here we go. Let us sing praise and thanksgiving to this God who has loved us so much.
I will sing. My name is Lars. I'm one of the elders here, and it's my privilege to read the scriptures for you today. We actually have two readings, Exodus chapter 3, 13 through 15, and Numbers 6, 22 through 27. On our first reading in Exodus, God is introducing his name as I Am. And what's powerful about this reading is later in John, Jesus calls himself I Am, John 8, and the Israelites try to stone him. So it's a very powerful reading. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." God said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'" Now Numbers. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make your face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." This is the word of the Lord.
Sermon text for today is Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." This is God's word for us today. It's now time for the children's message. Kids, come on up. Mrs. Hope Rusnak has the message this morning.
Okay, come on and find a seat, everybody. All right, Sawyer, can you be my helper today? You're going to help pass out some snacks when we're done. All right, everyone gather around. So, did you know that you wear Jesus' name? Yeah. Our scripture readings were just talking about how when we believe in Jesus, we have his name on us. Have you ever worn a name tag for school or for a class or something? Have you ever had a name tag with your name on it? Raise your hand. Okay, so we've all worn name tags before. What if your name tag said Jesus? Would you want to follow the rules or not follow the rules if you were wearing Jesus' name? Yeah, because if you don't follow the rules, people might think, Jesus doesn't do following the rules. Would that be a good way to represent Jesus? No. So we got to think about how when we are behaving, that we represent Jesus. Oh, hey, Pastor Josh, I might need a second person to help Sawyer with distributing. So you can just come and let him know you're going to do that.
Hey, Sawyer, I need to take those, actually. I'm supposed to take them away from you. Yeah, Miss Hope said that I need to take these away from you. Miss Hope said.
Is that what I said? No. Is he using my name and my authority correctly? No. He's doing exactly the wrong thing, but he used my name. Do you think that makes me feel very good? No. That's what it's like when we wear Jesus' name. We need to do the things that Jesus asked us to when we wear his name. All right, thank you all for being such good listeners. Thank you for my good helpers. And now we may actually give out some treats. All right. You can take your treats back to your mom or dad. Ask them before you go. Actually, wait, before we hand out the treats, we're going to do our prayer before we get all distracted. Everyone sit down real quick. We're already distracted. Okay. All right, when you get your treat, we're going to do our prayers. Okay, when you have your seat, when you have your treat, sit back down. That way we know who has them. Okay. Now, everyone, go ahead and fold your hands. Dear God, thank you for saving me and loving me, even when I make mistakes. Please help me to wear your name the way I should, to show others your love. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What's in a name? That which is called a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. It's about all of Shakespeare I know. Actually, I would think that even Billy Shakes would probably care how I called him. A name being a very significant thing with regard to how you refer to somebody and the relationship that you have with them. I remember when I was in fourth grade, I had a teacher who was very convinced of the proper way to pronounce my last name. Now, my last name, I pronounce it Rusnik, because that's what I was told. But if you look at it, it's A-K at the end, and I was my teacher was very insistent it must be Rusnak, with a hard ah sound. Nothing wrong with that, but just... Anyway, I remember telling my dad, who was the principal, about this. And he, ever trying to impart wisdom into his son, said, "I don't care what you call me, just don't call me late for dinner." In other words, let's have a bigger picture here, Josh, of what really matters in life. Well, I remember then a little bit after that, I was in Boy Scouts, and for whatever the reason was, all the scouts had taken up referring to each other by last name. And so I was called Rusnik. And again, nothing against my last name, I like it, but I had preferred to be called Josh. That is my preferred moniker at that time. And so as such, I remember saying, "No, not Rusnik." To which some other boy responded, "Whoa, Rusnik's rebelling." And I'm like, "No, that's not the point at all." But what we call each other, what we call individuals, all really does matter because it shapes the dynamics that you have between those individuals, and it all relates to, again, a person's name is their reputation. And so looking first the reading that we had, we see how it is that God himself says, "This is the name that you shall call me." And so he says to Moses, after Moses asked of God, "If I come to these people, your people, the people of Israel, and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me.'" Mind you, God had just introduced himself to Moses as, "I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob." But he said, "What should I tell them who sent me? What is his name? And they shall, what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said, "Say to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to this people of Israel, 'The Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" Now, again, a little brief bit of Hebrew here. So the verb for to be is related to the name Yahweh. So God's saying, "My name is Yahweh." He's really saying, "I am the God who is." Every other God that was worshipped, that was believed, if I worship this God, then it'll go well with me, with weather, with fertility, whatever it is that I am needing. I pray to this God and it will go better for me. All of them were empty. There was nothing to them. They were conceptions of the mind, and yet God says, "I am the God who is. I am. And that is how you shall declare to my people who has sent you. Yahweh has sent you." And later on, Yahweh brings this people to Mount Sinai, and he says, "You shall be my people, and I shall be your God." And after having done for them, bringing them out on eagle's wings from Egypt, he says, "Having done this for you already, having freed you from the bondage of slavery, now I would like to be in a covenant relationship with you. And this goes two ways. I will continue to do good things for you, but in this covenant relationship, you shall do things that are reflective of this relationship. And so this past Wednesday, I reflected upon, you shall have no other gods before me. And now we continue on to what by St. Augustine's reckoning of the Ten Commandments in the order, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, is how I learned it. Or as well, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, this doesn't mean vain as in you're so vain you probably think this verse is about you. But rather, this is vain like, you know, I thought I battened down my hatches well, and I thought I put my dumpsters in a secure location, and yet it was all in vain because the wind blew them into the neighbor's yard. Just a random hypothetical, certainly not what happened recently. But really, this concept of taking the name, the word is, again, in Hebrew, nasa, which is to lift. You shall not lift the name of the Lord your God in vain, or to bear, carry. You shall not bear or carry the name of the Lord your God in vain, or you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And the reason why I'm hitting this so hard is because when I think about the second commandment, when I think about not misusing the name of the Lord my God, not taking his name in vain, I think sometimes it can be tempting, easy to kind of relegate it to, well, as long as I don't say, oh my God, inappropriately, unless I'm praying, then I'm okay. As long as I don't, you know, curse or swear, then I'm okay. But picture in your mind, relating a little bit to the children's message, I might have talked to my wife a little bit about my sermon. Imagine you're an ambassador. And when you're an ambassador, you go on behalf of a higher-up entity. You represent something greater than yourself. And as such, you go in the name of someone or something. And so, as an ambassador, as long as the ambassador is saying what is in alignment with what, you know, let's say, the president, as long as the ambassador is fitting with what the president's message is, they are a true ambassador. Oh, I come on behalf of the president, and this is what the president thinks. But if that ambassador ever shifted the message, ever said, you know what, I know what the president thinks, but I think this is better. So I'm going to say, as the ambassador, this is better, but I still use the name of the president as if he had said it. How does that go? Is that a good thing to do? Is that fitting with the role, the calling? And so you have that the people of Israel were the people of the name, the people of Yahweh. Later on, the other reading, the second first reading, we had what you might hear very often at the end of a service, where the Lord spoke, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel and say to them, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. So there's a little bit of significance to having the name of God put upon you. God relates that into his covenant. And he's saying, again, don't take God's name in vanity, in worthlessness, in meaningless, as if it has no significance whatsoever to you. Later on, in the Psalms, it reads, remember this, O Yahweh, how the enemy scoffs and a foolish people reviles your name. This is one of the many times in the scriptures where it talks about how, again, God's name is related to his reputation and how the people of God's name interacted with the nations around them also then said something about the name and reputation of Yahweh. God had desired that his people be the means by which, as he blesses his people, they would be a blessing to the nations. This goes all the way back to Abraham. When God called Abraham and said, I will bless you, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through you. And anyone who blesses you, I will bless, and anyone who curses you, I will curse. And God extended that on to the descendants of Abraham. He said, this is how it will be, that all the earth who does not know me shall know me. How is it that they shall know who Yahweh is? By Yahweh's people. And yet Yahweh's people were just as terrible as the rest of the nation, sometimes far worse. Instead of listening and heeding the call of the covenant, instead of walking in the ways of life that Yahweh called them to, they instead invest in their own selfish ambitions and desires, caring nothing for those who were in need, caring nothing for those who were struggling, capturing and enslaving other nations. And time again, God sent prophets to say, come back to me. You have wandered away from the path I have designated for you. And one of the results was the fact that God's name now was a curse word to the nations. And God allowed his people to be captured and taken into exile for a time. And once again, the name of Yahweh was vanity. In the sense that, well, surely Yahweh wasn't as good of a god as Dagon, the Babylonian god, or any other gods of the people who captured Yahweh's people. And so later on, God talks about how he will restore his name by restoring his people, and how he would restore his name by sending the Messiah, Jesus, who took on flesh and dwelt among us. We just recently in Bible study finished up a study on the Sermon on the Mount. And it's interesting, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, in the middle of the middle, is of course the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That very clunky English word is a very hard thing to translate from Greek. It says, let your name be holy. And it's shortchanged to just hallowed. Lord, let your name be holy among us. That's how Luther explains it. We know with certainty that God's name is surely holy, but we pray that it would be holy among us as well. And again, it comes down to the reputation, the respect, the sense. Who is our God and how do we revere him? How do the people around us revere our God? And it relates as well to earlier on in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says to those who are listening, let your light so shine before others, with the result that they might see your good deeds and praise, give glory to your Father in heaven. And all of you bear the name of Christ, for you are a Christian, a little Christ, having first been called that in Antioch, as it says in Acts. As you go out and do whatever you do, you carry the name of God on you. So how do you take for yourself the name of God that you bear? Do you do it reflecting the teachings of the one whose name you bear, the teachings of Christ? Or do you take it in vain? Jesus says, let me sum up all of God's teachings thus far to you, all of the law and the prophets. How you desire someone does to you, do that to others. Or to say it differently, do unto others as you would have them do to you. And thus you fulfill the law and the prophets. This is something I've always enjoyed I'll say it that way, enjoyed impressing upon confirmation students as we reflect upon the significance of the second commandment. It encompasses far greater aspects of your life than strictly just the things that you happen to say. But that which you do, that which you fail to do, that which you say, that which you fail to say, all relates to how it is that you go out and you take the name of God. For you come in the name of the King. You come with the name of Christ. But this is a beautiful thing as well. What I'm getting at is that as we reflect upon, well, why is it that God put his name on his people? Why is it that we bear the name of Christian? It's not just to put upon us a heavy burden for which we could never come out of. But God says, put my name upon my people that they would be blessed. And as you go, go with the confidence knowing that you have God with you. For God has given you the Holy Spirit. He does not lay this heavy burden upon you and then leave you to your own devices, but rather, he guides and directs you. And when you fail to live up to the calling with which you have been called, God says, come to me. Confess your shortcomings, and I will forgive you, for I love you. Because the reality is that, again, we are so wrapped up in our own sinful desires that we fail to perfectly live out this calling of being God's ambassadors to a people who have no idea how to rightly relate to his name, how to rightly honor him and respect him. But you get to go to that same God, the God who is, and say, I am sorry that I have failed. I have failed to properly respect and revere you and your desire for me. I have failed to properly show others the love with which you have poured out to me. And the God who is forgives you. The God who is loves you. And he says, I know. And I know that you can do better because I have given you my Spirit. So keep these things in mind as you make decisions and go out into a world that has no true understanding of who the God who is really is. But know that you do not go alone, but you go along with the God who is, who has put his name upon you and blesses you so that you might be a blessing to those around you. Amen.
You are acquainted with all the
Please stand as we confess what God has revealed to us about himself and which we believe, by which we are saved. We are going to use the explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. My friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the beautiful day that you have given us, a day that we get to gather in your house, Lord, and hear of your word and hear of your forgiveness, Lord, hear of your provision and know you better, hear of your name. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in and among us, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the people who are still struggling from the storm damage, Lord, those whose houses were destroyed, those without power. Lord, I pray that you would continue to provide for your people as you do every day, Lord. Some days look different than others, Lord, but you always give us all we need. Help us to have peace in all circumstances. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be your hands and feet in this world, to bring mercy and grace to those who are struggling. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with those who are sick in our congregation, Lord, those who are awaiting tests, Lord. The waits can be very difficult, Lord, as you're waiting for important news. Lord, I pray that you would give us patience and faith in you, Lord, that we can trust in you even in the uncertain times. Lord, we pray for those who are undergoing treatments, Lord, that recovering from surgery, Lord, going through chemo, radiation, Lord, all the different ways that we that medical science helps us to get better. Lord, I pray that you would bless the hands of all the doctors, Lord. Give us courage and strength, Lord, and tenacity, Lord, as we continue to face the treatments. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of our families, Lord. You have a special heart, a place in your heart, Lord, for the littlest and the youngest among us, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to grow up our children, Lord, in you. Help us to pass on the faith. Help us to teach them, Lord, of your incredible stories, all the ways that you have influenced and acted, Lord, in the history of people, Lord, so that we will have the understanding of how you also act in our lives as well. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow the faith in our children so that they can have peace in uncertain times, Lord, just as we do. All these things, Lord, we bring to you today, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
For what we have.
My dear friends, we've come to our Father's house, and He has once again met us here. He's promised to come to us through this gift, and how important it is to know that for certain we can count on God to be for us when we need Him. And, well, here's news, we always need Him. But we can come to this place and that God will meet us here with grace and forgiveness. And in this gift, we, through our faith, have received this forgiveness. And He also gives us strength, because the next thing we're going to do is go back out those doors and into the world. And we're going to need all the help we can get to do better than we did last week. And some of us will and some of us won't. But here's the good news. Next week, we will gather here again, where we will once again receive this meal and the forgiveness that comes with it. And so knowing that our God is true, knowing that our God is faithful, knowing that our God always follows through with His promise, depart in His peace and in His joy. Amen. All right, my friends, receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please stand as we sing the one final song of praise and glory to our God.
To God, glory to God, glory to God.
First of all, Sunday school kids, this is your time to escape. You can find Lauren in the back of the church, and the rest of them all have to sit for through the announcements. All right, otherwise than that, the prayer chapel. In the prayer chapel after the service, one of our elders, Lars Valen, will be in the prayer chapel to pray with anybody who wishes individual prayer after the service. If you didn't notice, there's a bunch of books in the lobby. The book fair is here, and it is an amazing opportunity. Now, this is a really cool organization that we're working with. It's called I-55 Books, and they are overtly trying to put good books in the hands of children. And if you've looked at children's books lately, they're not all good. I think you guys know what I mean. I mean, there's like moral and just stuff not in sync with God's word. This is actually a ministry that actually helps us find good books. We were having a real problem with that. And so this is the book fair that will support helps to support our school as well. One way that you can help support our school is on the very back table, just outside the middle doors here. There is a table with books underneath the names of a teacher in a classroom, and those are the books that the teacher wishes to have if somebody would only buy them for them. Other than that, there's a lot of really good books out there. If you guys have any young children that you need to be buying gifts for, you can start now. Anyway, and we're getting really close to our goal, so it's a wonderful thing. It's exciting. We're not there yet, but we're almost to the goal, and so if you guys could help us out, that would be absolutely amazing. All right, let's see here. Easter schedule. This year we're doing Easter times a little bit different. I just want to draw attention to it because we published it, but that doesn't mean everybody noticed it. We're doing instead of doing a 9:30 service and then a later service, we're doing an 8:00 service and then a 9:30 service. I've been getting requests for an earlier Easter time for years, and finally we're going to give it a try. So if you don't show up, we're not doing it again. Anyway, folks, listen, it has been wonderful to be gathered among you today and to get to worship an incredible God. And so blessings on your week, and I'll be in the back in case you need me. Oh, after the service today, I'm going to be teaching a Bible study in here on how to witness. And we're told that we're supposed to always have an answer for the reason for the hope that we have. And that's what we're going to be working on today, is being prepared for an answer. And I'm really working hard to make it something that's helpful and something you can put into practice pretty quickly. So please stick around for that. God's blessings, folks.